Welcome to Blueprints for Brilliance Coaching Insights, a podcast by coaches for coaches. Our guests share their hard-won wisdom to help you grow your coaching business and create a life of success. So get ready to unlock the blueprints to your success. Welcome everyone to today's episode. I'm absolutely thrilled you're here, and I'm thrilled to have Hunter Myers here. Her company is Verger, like merger, but with a V. And she's going to tell us all about her and her branding studio. So welcome to the show, Hunter. It's nice to have you.
Yes, thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited to be chatting with you guys.
Fantastic. And I apologize, I forgot to introduce my co-host, which is Doug Kahn. He is here from...
Hi, everyone.
It's lovely to have you, Doug, always. So, Hunter, tell us a little bit about how you came to be a branding studio. What was your journey? Where'd you start?
Yeah, I love to tell people that I tripped and face planted into entrepreneurship. This was not what I thought I was going to do. Even design was not what I thought I was going to do. So I have been making art my entire life. Like, you'd have thought that I came out of the womb wielding a pencil. Like, I love art. I've been doing it forever. But bless my family's heart, they were like, Hunter, you're not going to make any money as an artist. Please get a job doing something else. And I was like, okay, fine. Then I guess I'm going to be a writer, because I thought that a writer would make more money. And so I went to school. I went to school for originally journalism and realized, okay, this is not for me, but found a creative writing class that I absolutely loved. I was like, okay, perfect. In my final year, I'll go ahead and just switch over to English. I had taken enough sociology classes as well. I was like, cool, let's tack on a double major. Let's do it. And then graduated with those. I was like, awesome. Time is coming up. I've lived in Missouri my whole life. What am I going to do now? I was like, Austin, Texas. That's what I'm doing. And so I headed down to Austin, Texas, no job lined up, determined to be a writer. And I start applying for job after job. And I'm like, okay, no, and no, and I'm getting another no. And I'm looking at my savings account. I'm like, okay, we're running out of money. And there is no way in hell I'm going back home. So what am I going to do? And a graphic design position came up in my LinkedIn search, wherever I was searching at the time. I was like, perfect. Another no is not going to hurt me. Like, I need a job. Let's just try. I had an online portfolio because, again, like, I had done illustration stuff for quite some time. I was like, awesome. So I sent in the application and I get an email back. Oh my gosh, we love your stuff. Do you want to come in for an interview? And I was like, you have got to be kidding me. Like, you have got to be kidding me. Like, this thing that I wanted to do for years is now here in front of me. Oh my gosh. And so I went in, I worked for that company for about 4 years, and then COVID hit. And I was like, okay, I want to try this out on my own. I had been looking for a way out of the company anyways, but you know how it goes. Like, you get comfortable in a role and you become scared to take that leap. And so the way that I like to tell it is, essentially, COVID put me on the plank and furloughing me was my push right off of it. And I was like, okay, awesome. I'm going to figure this out. And from there, Verger Design Co. was born, and I've been running it for the last 5.5, almost 6 years now.
I love that. That's so funny. COVID furloughed you.
Right? Yep.
That's amazing. Yeah. I love that you're an artist and illustrator. Actually, my kids are both art majors, and their rooms are crazy with illustrations and pictures and paintings and drawings and 3D. There's actually a body over there with guts coming out that one of my kids did in her, because she likes sculpture. So anyhow, I digress.
I love it. Oh my gosh. 3D is one of my favorites. Any chance I get where I can do some 3D work. So I envy your children for getting to go to art school.
Yeah, they're having a good time. We did tell them that they have to get a job or a business to feed and clothe themselves afterwards. So they already know that. Wonderful. So tell us a little bit about your branding business. Do you just do logos or colors, or there's such a wide range actually of what you could do. So tell us more about that.
Yeah. So I do primarily branding, the kind of the overarching. So we're going to develop your visual brand. There's a lot of strategy that goes into it as well, ensuring what we are creating is actually designed to attract the kind of people that you want buying your offers, whether that be products or services. But I also have a really unique take to the way that I do it, because I treat brand building a lot like dating. And so I tell my clients, I want you to view your customers the same way you would view a romantic partner. Like you need to be courting them. You need to be discovering your type. If you don't know who you're trying to serve, like step one, let's figure out who your type is. And how can we build chemistry between you and them to move them through this buying process into that happily ever after phase? Because I don't want my clients to have a lot of one-time buyers. Like we all know, customer lifetime value is a huge part of business. It can save you a lot of money if you can increase that value and decrease your marketing costs. And so I really work to develop an entire brand experience for each and every client that I take on that is designed to, again, court their customers, build those happily ever afters with them so that they become repeats, huge fans, referrals, all of that. So there's obviously that strategy side, there's the design side as well, where like the fun art gets to come in. I also offer graphic design and do websites from time to time. And I'm a mural artist too, which is really fun, but that's outside of the business.
Very cool. I love your, it's like dating perspective. That's so fun. So the people who come to you, do they already have to know who their ideal client is?
Great question. I really love this one because here's the thing. We're all learning as we go, right? And so there will be plenty of times when a client will come to me and they aren't quite sure who their person is. So through our strategy together, I'm helping them uncover that. But there is a caveat to this that I want to make, which is you have to have been in business for some time before I will work with you. My services are not necessarily like the cheapest service, and I don't want you to spend your money branding your business and us going through all this work for you to then change like what your offers are going to be, who you're wanting to serve down the line. So I always tell people, like, if you are in your first year or so of business, unless you're opening a brick and mortar, if you are opening a brick and mortar, invest in professional branding immediately. You are going to save yourself money down the line by investing now. But if you're running an online business, that first year of business, just make it yourself. It's going to be okay, I promise. And I may get some flack from other designers, but I promise you're going to be okay on your own for that first year. And really focus on learning how to sell, testing out your offers, making sure that they're viable. And then when you're ready to maybe increase your pricing or really start to expand the business, then reach out to someone like me and we'll help you get to that next level that you're going for. But please invest your money in learning how to sell first. I know it's fun, guys. Like I know that the visuals are fun and they're pretty and they're exciting and flashy, but I promise you want to know how to sell first. Put your money there, start setting some money aside for branding down the line, and then reach out to someone.
That is such great advice. I'm so glad you said that because one of the ladies I follow, she calls it procrasti branding, meaning you're just procrastinating moving forward in your business and developing your clients and prospecting and with playing with fonts and colors.
Yes, and again, like I get it. Like, lucky for me, that's my job. Sorry, guys. But, like, I know the pull to want to be creative and get your hands messy in changing these things. But there are so many better ways that you could be serving your business, unless you are a designer like me, that you could be serving your business outside of tinkering with your brand.
Yeah, without a doubt, because like I said, that could be a never-ending episode. And it's interesting because I was listening to a podcast today and she was talking about a funnel that they launched with a lot of money in ad spend, and it wasn't giving them the return that they expected and that they normally got. So they were panicking. So they went back and redid the branding on the page, the layout, and they also went back and redid some of the writing, and it ended up doubling their revenue coming through. And it was just a testament to it's real. If you're going to spend money on something, you need to make sure that you're ready for it, that your branding is ready for it. You agree?
Oh, 100%. And I feel like this is something where That's where that strategy comes into play. And I think about this again from that dating perspective. I'll give another example here, because you want to be thinking about who you're trying to attract at the same time, like what kind of message you're wanting to send. And so if you're going to show up to a blind date, right, and you're showing up in your swimsuit, I can guarantee you, especially let's say that this date is at a five-star restaurant, the person across from you is going to be like, you know what? I'm good, actually. I think I'm good. It was so wonderful meeting you. I'm out of here. And the same thing happens with your branding and business. Like, customers are making split second decisions based on how they see you. And that first impression is so important, especially now where there are so many competitors. And I think the competitors are a great thing, right? So please don't be afraid when you've got competitors in your market or your industry. But it's so important that you make that strong first impression, you stand out, you position yourself as the right choice, and you do so with both your messaging and your visuals. I think to a client who I helped, so she came to me, she's look, I've been doing this for years now. I know that my program is worth X amount of dollars, but I am beating my head against a wall because every time I hop on a sales call with someone, they're telling me I thought it was going to be cheaper. And I was like, okay, perfect. This is absolutely a solvable problem. Like, this is something that branding can solve. What we need to do is we need to prepare your audience, court them through this process, and get them ready and expecting that your services are going to cost X amount. And visuals is a really great way to do that. And again, messaging is too. They really go hand in hand. I've got a lot of copywriter friends in my network who I'm referring people to make sure that what we're developing for our clients really is that well-rounded brand experience.
Yes, that's so true. I'm just going to give websites as an example, but I've been to websites when I'm looking into companies, and if they have something that looks very outdated, it makes you think that their company must be outdated or just not keeping up with what's happening now. So it's such a great story of reflection of you could be the most amazing person at what you do, but if you're not putting that out there, then that's not what people are seeing and that's not what they're interpreting.
Exactly. And I want to piggyback off of this too and think about catfishing, because if you're also not consistent across your platforms in the way that you look and show up. And I'm not saying that you're going to speak to your people on LinkedIn the same way you're going to speak to your people on Twitter. What I am saying is if I come across you on any of these channels and then I choose to go to your website, if you don't look like the same business, bet your bottom dollar I'm not swiping my card at your company. I don't trust you at that point. And that trust is so important. And I think we oftentimes overlook how branding is that foundation for the trust building.
Yes. And I'm come from a design background as well. So this is fun for me. So one thing I will say to our audience who's listening, and we did this not long ago, was go to all of your social platforms and pull the header image and compare them. Are they just what you were saying? Are they similar? Do they feel like they came from the same company? Because like you said, sometimes people land in one place on your website and then they land on your LinkedIn page and they're thinking, this must be a different company.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah. So do you encourage people to have an avatar? I'm sure our audience already knows. An avatar meaning someone ideally real that is your ideal client. So when you're writing or you're creating, you can feel like, okay, if I were speaking to that person, here's what I would say, or here's what I would give them.
Absolutely. And it's something that I work on with my branding clients. We'll build that together. Because when you can personify who it is you are trying to attract, you're no longer speaking into this void. And again, with so many competitors, with markets that are oftentimes very flooded, it's so important that people feel a personal connection to your brand. And they can't feel that if you can't feel a personal connection to who you're even trying to talk to in the first place. And so I do. I work with my clients to help them develop their avatars. We go through the demographics, the psychographics, but also really thinking about, okay, where are your people spending time? How can we get in front of them? What language are they using? I oftentimes encourage my clients, hey, if you have clients that you have worked with that you really liked that are willing to hop on a call, here's some questions I want you to ask them so you can get there. And I'm like, don't paraphrase it. Okay. I don't want your paraphrased version of this. I want you to transcribe it, record it all, put it in a transcriber. We want their exact words because that is going to tell you how people are actually talking about the services that you offer, but also the problems that they have. Because when you can get, and I know we're getting into the messaging weeds here, but when you can get into really the mind of your buyers and use the language that they're using, they'll sit here and think, oh my gosh, you're me. You're me right now. You're talking directly to me. This is absolutely a yes. And that is the goal with branding, right? Is to get these people to a yes as quickly and easily as possible, as long as you guys are aligned.
Yeah, we actually do that. Before we ever put out any kind of product or service, we reach out to people, at least 50, if not 100 people who might have that problem, to make sure that our solution, A, make sure they have the problem, and B, make sure that the solution we have fulfills all of the parts and pieces that they need to know. And like you said, I love that. We always record them so that we can use their language in our marketing. Love that. And I love how you talked about personal connection. We actually help people with their video marketing, which is another way to get your brand out there. So do you help people with that at all?
I do not, but I've got connections in my network, and I run a podcast myself, and I'm so excited for an episode that's going to be coming up soon with a company. So this is the owner of the company, and they do video testimonials. And we talk about the power of video testimonials and the difference between those and user-generated content and all that jazz. So I personally do not do video aside from my YouTube channel that I just record myself. But I do know how important it is, especially again now where people are wanting to get to know the people behind the brand. Gone are the days where you can slap a logo, never show your face, and assume that people are going to purchase. We've got to get comfortable in front of a camera, showing up and be yourself. I coach my clients through that. I've got a number of clients who are nervous about getting on camera, and I'm like, don't worry, I've got you. We'll make our way through this. Same with brand photos too. Like, I'll send over shot lists that they can share with their photographer to make sure we're capturing what we're looking for. I really am your brand's matchmaker. Okay. I'm here to make sure all the pieces are lined up how we want them lined up, so you're showing up your best and your people that you're trying to attract are feeling their best too in the process.
Yeah. I would think that when they're working with you, by the time they're done, they feel really good about what they need to say and who they're talking to. So that in itself is going to make their speaking much, much, much better. And you have to tell us the name of your podcast, please.
Oh, yes. It is the Brand Bite Podcast. So you can find it. It's all on my YouTube channel. I've started doing video podcasts, which I am having so much fun with. And so it is over on the YouTube channel, which I will share with you guys at the end and everything. But it's a fun one. I interview a lot of entrepreneurs. We talk about what it's like to be an entrepreneur, dive into all of their specialties. So it's a good time. It's a good time.
Good stuff. And it was the Brand Bite. Is that like B-I-T-E or B-Y-T-E? Is it got technology in there?
It is B-I-T-E, which I love that you asked this. So I record a lot of mine on Riverside, which is a great recording platform. I really enjoy it. And it'll transcribe it for me. And every time it comes back, spell and bite, B-Y-T-E. So I love that you asked. I was like, oh my gosh, I wish my little transcribe robot would ask.
That's good stuff. Yeah, there should be a setting for that, don't you think?
Yeah.
Yeah, mine never spells my name right, but that's how it goes. Doug, did you have any questions for our amazing guest, Hunter?
Yeah, just one question. I find it intriguing, Hunter, going back a few minutes. You mentioned if you're going to do brick and mortar right away, get engaged immediately. If not, let the business fly for a while or flow for a while. Do you ever run into a situation where you've got a customer who's online right now, but they have plans to go to brick and mortar? And if so, how do you handle that? And continue to engage them and give them the confidence in the right direction so that you've got a smooth path?
I really love this question. So I'm so glad that you asked it, because there are, like, when you're in business, your plans are going to change. New opportunities are going to come up, and a strong professional brand that is designed well will grow with you. Okay. Like, think of it like a shirt, right? If it doesn't fit right and you're still growing, like, it's not going to be comfortable. And so if, let's say, there is a client who is, okay, I'm doing an online business right now, I would like to open up a brick and mortar down the line. If you are thinking at all that might be you, definitely get in contact with someone like me immediately. And what we will do is we will start to build your brand presence online and find ways to incorporate that into the brick and mortar. So I always tell my clients, like, I want to know where you see this business going. And I don't want to know where you see it in a couple months. I want to know where you see it 5 to 10 to 20 years from now, because that is what we are building together. I don't want you to have to come back and buy a new brand every couple of years. That is confusing for your audience. It costs you money that you could be investing in other areas. And it can cause a lot of confusion for yourself too. And that kind of eats away your confidence. And we all know, as business owners, confidence is so important. So I recommend reach out. We'll talk. I also recommend sharing with your audience the brand building process. I think a lot of people want everything to be behind the curtain, right? We're very used to this highlight reel. But now, like, that's not what your audience wants. Like, the audience wants to be involved. And if the whole point of developing a brand is building a relationship with them, bringing them along in your growth journey, showing them what you're doing, getting them excited about your process, showing them your mistakes too, like, that helps people feel like you are a human. And people want to connect with humans, even if the human is behind a brand. So that would be my recommendation, is that if you are at all thinking about it, reach out, speak to someone. I've got 60-minute power hours, strategy sessions. We could even just sit down and talk through it, whether you work with me or not. Let's at least get you clear on where you're going and what you're looking for, so you're not wasting time, money, resources, energy, anything like that.
That's great, because you never know. Hopefully we'll never have another COVID, but I'm sure a lot of brick and mortar businesses that didn't have a strong online presence had to adjust very quickly to becoming an online presence.
Absolutely. We saw even this with the restaurants, right? Like, the number of them that had to shift to delivery orders. Like, that was the way to keep your business afloat. Like, you've got to be able to pivot, and having that brand built strongly enough on these different platforms makes that pivot easier for you. Your audience already knows you. They're excited to interact with you. And if, hopefully not, another big crazy thing occurs like COVID did, you've got that kind of backbone and foundation built so you can stay standing.
Yeah, I love it how you were talking about people following the process. And we always try with people who are authors, they're typically introverts. And so they don't want to be out there. But the best thing they can do is be out there and share the process, like you said, and share the challenges. And but some of them have said to me, but then I have to finish the book. Yeah, that's the point. And now you're obligated to your audience. So, you know, that's, you could call that accountability, really.
Exactly. I love that you bring up the accountability piece, because I think that is something that scares off people. Look, my brain bounces around all the time. Finishing projects is my least favorite task. Okay, everybody, like, I get it. Been there, done that. But having that accountability from your audience, and remembering too that once you have built a relationship with them, you're no longer talking to that void. Like, connect, like, personally connect with a couple of people in your audience. They will become your friends. They're going to cheer you on. And in those moments where that project is no longer fun, when you're pulling your teeth because you've got to get through the hard part, they will be there to support you. So you're feeding into them just as much as they will feed into you if you spend the time developing those relationships and that brand.
I have a question I just thought of. Do you incorporate AI at all in your branding or in your teaching and educating your clients?
So the way that I leverage AI, because we've all got our feelings about it, but what I try to teach my clients how to do is use AI as a task monkey as opposed to a thought partner. Because if you are going to AI as your thought partner, all you are doing is regurgitating the thoughts of everyone else on the internet, because that is where it is gathering the information. Go to AI to help you synthesize your thoughts. Go to AI to help you find patterns. I actually hosted a workshop not too long ago that was an AI customer clarity workshop, where what I did was I walked everyone through, okay, how do you find those ideal buyers? How can you find the kinds of people you want to be targeting? But the only time we incorporated AI was after you had already done some deep digging on your own. And so that's the way that I incorporate AI into what we're doing. There is no getting away from it now. Like, Pandora is out of the box. Like, we are in it. We are here. But I think that there are ways to use it that still give you your autonomy as a business and as a brand. But I've also seen some brands that have leaned so heavily into it that now none of their stuff is theirs. And so I really caution you against that. Like, your thoughts are so important, and it is what makes you unique in your business. And I know that AI is this flashy thing and everyone's telling you to use it right now, which, folks, this is a marketing ploy. Okay. They all want you to use it because it gets them money. And there are ways that it can make your life easier, but don't become dependent on it. Don't build your brand's foundation on AI. It's not going to get you very far. It's going to get you somewhere quickly, but I think, like rabbit and tortoise and the hare, right? Like, you're the hare in that moment. You're going to get somewhere really quickly, but longevity, you're not going to have it. So that's my two cents on AI and how it is involved in my business and how I operate it with my clients.
Yeah, that's really smart. I would also caution people not to use it for imagery, because it does kind of come across, you can tell what it is, first of all. Even people who don't know much about AI will go, that's not real. And it also, I feel like it kills your credibility somewhat. You know, use a real photo of you or your dog or what you're doing. Bring us in to the real instead of creating the beautiful.
Exactly. And that's something that I want everyone to consider too. So I brought up, like, take people through this messy middle in your brand building. Trust is harder to gain now than it ever was. And AI is a huge part of that problem. AI and the online business space and some of the marketing tactics that have really been used on people in the last, I would say, decade. And so I love that you bring up this lack of credibility piece when someone sees an AI-generated image, because it does take away from that human element. Like, okay, you're using AI for this. Am I just essentially working with a robot now? Like, why would I pay X amount of dollars to work with a robot if I can just go use ChatGPT myself? And so I think that these are things to keep in mind as you incorporate AI into your business. Think about the images that you're going to be sharing. And people don't want perfect anymore. Like, the time of perfect is gone. And I feel like the marketing world is trying desperately to, like, cling on to the perfect, but it's out. Like, we're not there anymore. People want I'm going to use the word grunge, right? The grit. They want the personality, the story behind it all. They want your hero's journey, not just the final clip. Let them see that. Let them see the growth. Because I also, if we think about connections, right? People want to know too, that they can get to where you are. And when all you're showing is where you are, they cannot picture in their mind how you got there. It doesn't matter how much you tell them. If you are not showing them where you started versus where you are, they are not able to picture it themselves, which makes you far less attainable to them. And they want to feel connected to you. So be you, be yourself, avoid the AI images if you can. Hire real artists. Obviously, I'm a designer, so I'm going to say that, but, like, it's important, guys.
Hunter, you have just given us so much great information today and so many important things to think of. I do hope you do public speaking.
I do, yes.
Because I can imagine your audiences are probably going, this is so great. So I'm so excited that you joined us. And I know there are people listening who are saying, I need to reach out to her. She is speaking my language. She's got filling, she can fill the gaps for me. So what is the best way for them to reach out to you?
Yeah, so you can definitely email me, hunter@vergerdesignco.com. Verger Design Co. is my website. I'm spending a lot of time over on YouTube now. So if you enjoyed this conversation, want to hear me talk more about these topics, please come over, subscribe to the YouTube channel at Verger Design Co. And don't worry, we will put this in the show notes because I did not follow the cardinal rule, which was picking a name that people could spell and pronounce. So it'll be there, folks, but at least you'll remember it. Okay. And then you can always DM me on Instagram or LinkedIn too. But again, I'll share all of those links. I am so excited to continue the conversation. If this is something that you're interested in chatting more about, if not, and you just want to hang out, be a lurker. I will not judge. It's all good. We're all friends here. I've been a lurker too. So I'm just so excited that you are even thinking about developing out your brand and elevating things in your business and that you're running a business in the first place. This is not a easy road. Okay. So we're all here to support each other, get you where you want to go, whether it's me or someone that I know in my network who may be a better fit for you. I am just here to help you as best I can.
Oh, my heart's pounding. We do. We're here to support entrepreneurs, and it's not an easy game. It's the long game. We always laugh and say it's the giving up the 40 hours a week, 9 to 5 to work 80 hours a week for yourself.
Oh my gosh. Yes.
So it's all good. Okay, I have one last question for you because we're running long. If you could provide one tip to make the world a better place, what would that be?
I think it would be just talking with people. Connect with people, build those relationships. It has been the theme of this entire conversation. But talk to people, get to know them. I know that a lot of us operate in this online space. Get out into the real world. Talk to your neighbors. Build community. Like, that is going to make the biggest difference for the places you live, for yourself, for your business, even. We talk about networking, and sometimes it's, oh, I don't want to network. Go make friends, okay? Go make friends. It's worth it, I promise. Making friends is networking. So that would be my tip.
Absolutely. Agree 100%. Hunter Myers from Verger Studios. This has been an amazing conversation. I'm so glad you joined us today. Thank you. And thank you to my co-host, Doug. It's lovely to have both of you here.
Thank you.
Thanks for joining us today on Blueprints for Brilliance Coaching Insights. We hope you're leaving this episode with inspiration to take your coaching business and your life to the next level. If you found value in this episode, we would love it if you would subscribe and share it with someone else who you think might benefit from hearing it. Thanks, and we'll see you in the next episode.